Yesterday we read the passage from the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus uses the images of salt and light. And one of the things that people commenting on that passage always say is, with salt, it's bad if you have too much because it ruins the dish if it gets too salty. And with light, if it's too bright and it blinds people, that defeats the whole purpose of the light. No, salt and light are supposed to serve for the benefit, not of themselves, but of the food that they enhance or of whatever they're supposed to shine light on. Well, today's Saint Barnabas fits this description very well. He wasn't too salty, but he was very good at enhancing the flavor of the church. He was a bright light, but he wasn't so bright that he blinded people. He let people see the kingdom of God. He himself could see grace at work, and he helped other people see it as well. So Barnabas, I think, fits very well that description of what we are all to be: salt, light for the world, salt in the earth. Sometimes when I think of Barnabas, I think of the awards that they give to different films. You know, different groups make awards for the best movie of the year, best picture, best director, best actor. But then they also have best supporting actor. Not the main actor, but someone who plays an important role and does it very well. That's Barnabas. He's the best supporting actor. In fact, he's so good at it that he got the name Barnabas. That wasn't his given name. Barnabas was a kind of a nickname that the apostles bestowed on him. It means son of encouragement, meaning someone who's good at encouraging others. His given name was Joseph. Joseph Barnabas. By the way, you know this young man's name is Joseph. First time to serve at the altar today by himself. Joseph Daniel. So I think he goes by Daniel, which is also a good name. But maybe as he grows up, he'll be a Barnabas. A Barnabas is someone who is at the service of others and encourages others and makes it possible for others to grow. And Barnabas has this gift. It's extraordinary to see how often he exercises this charism of encouragement. In today's reading, the first reading, it's the apostles who send Barnabas up to Antioch where there's something going on. People are following the gospel, even Gentiles. And so the apostles say, well, Barnabas, you know how to encourage people to get on track. Why don't you go to Antioch and see what's going on up there? And so he goes, and I love this description. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, how can you see the grace of God? Well, meaning he has this spiritual insight. He could see the effects of grace unfolding in the lives of the people. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and encouraged them all to remain faithful to the Lord. So there he is, encouraged. It's the very name he's received. He encouraged them to remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart, for he was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. It kind of captures the whole mission of Barnabas: to see the grace of God at work, to encourage people to remain faithful with firmness of heart, because he himself was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit and with faith. One of the characteristics of Barnabas is that he tends to fade into the background. And this is why I think he's good salt. Because if you don't notice the salt, but you notice how good the meal tastes, that means the salt is doing its job properly. If you can't taste anything, you say, well, there's not enough salt. And if it's too salty, you say, well, there's too much salt. But if you don't notice the salt, then you've got it right, the right quantity. That's Barnabas. In fact, Pope Leo, I think, has something of this quality. Pope Leo XIV. I don't know him very well yet. He's only been Pope for a month. But If he hadn't been named Pope, he might have gone unnoticed. Kind of a hidden figure, a kind of a Barnabas figure. Now, almost by definition, a Pope can't be a Barnabas because he's already the most prominent figure in the whole church. But I think something of his character seems to be like this. He's not too salty. He's not going to blind anyone with his light. Anyway, so Barnabas, when he is at the service of the church, one of the objects of his mission is Saul of Tarsus. Barnabas is the one who brought Saul and introduced him to the apostles, because nobody wanted anything to do with Saul. And then when Saul went back to Tarsus, it was Barnabas who went to get him, and he brought him to Antioch. So twice Barnabas is at the service of Saul and is more prominent than Saul. Remember when they were in, where was that? The other Antioch, or Lystra, maybe it was in Lystra, when the people thought that they were gods, Paul and Barnabas were gods and they were in a sacrifice to them, they thought Barnabas was Zeus and Paul was Hermes. He was just the messenger. But Zeus is in the Greek pantheon, Zeus is the top guy. So they thought Barnabas was the big deal. The chief god and the priest of the temple of Zeus was going to sacrifice an ox to him. Of course, Barnabas and Paul had nothing to do with it. They refused it. But it shows how prominent Barnabas was at that time. But as their mission continues, Paul emerges as the dominant figure and Barnabas fades into the background. And without any complaint, he doesn't care. He doesn't want to be Zeus anyway. He doesn't want to be anyone. He wants to encourage others to be faithful. Faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart. Barnabas, just reflecting on his journey, at one point wants his cousin John Mark to join them again for another missionary journey. Paul refuses it. You know that story. Paul refused it because John Mark abandoned them when they were being persecuted somewhere in Pisidia or Perga or one of those places. And so he said, no, we can't trust him. And that's where Barnabas and Saul got into a big fight. In fact, it was so severe, their disagreement was so severe that they separated. I like reflecting on this because we're talking about two saints, two apostles, two people filled with faith and the Holy Spirit, both of them, and they disagreed so severely that they couldn't even work together. It shows that kind of human disagreement does not stop the Holy Spirit from working in the church. And we know there are disagreements like this all the time in the church. So don't be scandalized and don't be stopped and don't think that God is defeated by disagreements. Maybe God will bring good out of it in some way. And in this case, Paul went on a missionary journey back into Asia, actually into Europe, and Barnabas and John Mark went to Cyprus. And at that point, Barnabas falls off the page. We never hear about him again. He just disappeared. But Mark remains in the pages of the New Testament, and he becomes the author of a gospel. So, because of Barnabas's encouragement, Mark is able to fulfill his mission. It's a great example of a supporting actor. When it comes to the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Mark has got a gospel. In fact, they say Mark is the first one to write down the gospel. Well, and there's no mention of Barnabas in Mark's gospel, but he's in the background. It's the fruit. You could say the gospels that we have are in some ways the fruit of the encouragement of Saint Barnabas. Barnabas, who was filled with faith, filled with the Holy Spirit, and put himself at the service of the church. So a great witness. Barnabas, we usually hear about him only in the Easter season because that's when we're reading from the Acts of the Apostles. We're not in the Easter season anymore. We're in the, what we could call, post-Pentecost season. But actually, this is really where Barnabas belonged, because he wasn't around during Jesus' earthly ministry, as far as we know. or if he was, if he wasn't named then. But in the after Pentecost, when the church went forth, that's when Barnabas starts to shine. An example to us of being faithful to the Holy Spirit, being firm in faith, faithful to the Holy Spirit, docile, willing to be a supporting actor, willing to disappear, if that's God's will. Good salt, good light, St. Barnabas.